right, KFIZ News Time is 10:10, 10 minutes past 10 o'clock here on a Friday. It's, Friday the 13th, August 13th of 2021. Spencer Wagon here with you as we kick off hour number three of the show this morning. We'll have our sports roundup, training camp today, reports coming up after 10:30 this morning. But before we get there, talking about headlines of the day, including vaccine mandates with State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeldt in studio this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm looking forward to a less humid weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. It's brutal. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I just walked out of work, and it's one of those days where you felt like you just stepped out of the shower.
Yeah,
we've fully clothed.
We got big excitement coming on the Dock Spider.
Yeah.
This weekend. I'm a big fan of that and would encourage fans. Playoffs are just about here, and get out and cheer on the local baseball team.
Absolutely. High school football is a week from tonight.
So I know.
It's crazy. Where'd the time go? It seems like we were just, of course, we were just talking about high school sports, but the spring season that just wrapped up in May and got a really short time off, and now we're here back to the fall season. So fun time of the year for sure, but a lot of news headlines to talk about. You specifically wanted to talk more about those vaccine mandates that I mentioned, and we've seen here locally and across the state and across the U.S. These protests about specifically healthcare, places of healthcare mandating and announcing mandates for vaccines for their employees. And I know you've been looking into these mandates, and you just wanted to chat about this this issue here this morning. Give us kind of your perspective on this. I know you've been talking with a lot of the people involved in this, a lot of the workers that are being impacted by this. What are you hearing from them?
Yeah, well, we have this, and I don't even know if it's really called a trend, because it seems to be almost every healthcare facility. And it's going beyond that now. It's going down even into private businesses that are not healthcare related, that are requiring their employees to receive the COVID-19 vaccination in order to continue their employment. And I have a history going back a number of years of standing on healthcare freedom, even going back to the influenza shot. And I continue to stand on that. And I have great dismay at what is being done right now in our community here in Fond du Lac. This is happening to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, where they are being threatened with dismissal from their employment, which is perhaps their family's livelihood, something that they maybe have done for 20, 30 years, an occupation that they love. And some of these people, not too long ago, you can recall, I'm sure you reported on it, these people were labeled heroes for the work that they did in the midst of the pandemic and helping out the public. And now that seems to have been forgotten, and they're going to be pushed out the door because they are standing their ground on making a personal healthcare decision that they do not want to receive a vaccination. I am the author of a bill that has passed the assembly. It's AB 25. That's AB stands for Assembly Bill 25. And it would disallow the mandating of the COVID-19 vaccination as a condition of employment. It's in the state Senate right now. I believe it has passed committee there, and it's waiting to go to the floor of the state Senate. And I would encourage the Senate to pass that bill and send it on to the governor. Now, perhaps the governor would veto it, but it sends a strong message that the state legislature, or at least the Republicans in it, we are going to stand for medical freedom. These medical decisions have always been, it's a hallmark of American society, that you get to make your own medical decisions. And of the people who know the most about this, that would be people who work in healthcare. And there are statistics out there where, they're kind of all over the map, but I've seen numbers up to 40% of healthcare workers, for one reason or another, have decided that they don't think the vaccination is right for them or for their family. Now, perhaps that'll change in time, because as we know, not only is this action being required of them for a vaccination, and although it might happen soon, this vaccination doesn't even have complete approval. It has emergency approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And so, I mean, how un-American is this, that at the recommendation of government, and, you know, that's coming from local, state, and national government, they are essentially ordering good, hardworking employees, the same ones who were previously labeled as heroes for their selfless work, to receive an unwanted health care treatment for a virus that has reemerged due to, I think, largely the incompetence of that same government and the advice they've given the public. They must receive a vaccination from a facilitator and a supplier that has been granted immunity from prosecution from the government, and they bear no risk at all. You know, if there's a negative impact that comes from the COVID-19 vaccination or any vaccination that is out there, you cannot sue the company for that. They have no risk involved in this. And then those companies claim to benevolent, I mean, these companies that are acquiring it, they claim to benevolently be offering options with a couple limited exceptions for medical reasons or religious reasons. But then they intrusively investigate those to make sure that they're actually true and threaten those who resist with termination from their family's livelihood if they don't comply. And then they say, well, but by the way, we don't know how long this is going to be good for. You might have to do this again in 6 months. Well, that's some pretty cold comfort. And so the so-called experts who have been wrong over and over again, they're well studied in their field, and I'm not going to get into the medical part of this. I'm going to stick to the freedom part of this. Maybe they are right, but to this point, they certainly have changed their mind a lot and given the public an awful lot of reason why they should be skeptical of the advice that has been given. So I stand with these people. This is not freedom. This is not the America that I know. And as far as I'm concerned, this is constitutional malpractice to deprive people of their right to gainfully work to supply and provide for their families when they simply just want to make their own healthcare decisions. So I encourage these people to stand their ground, and I will stand there with them.
When you look, just, you know, playing kind of like a hypothetical situation, say these mandates are, you know, allowed to continue, and people start losing their jobs from a, you know, an economic standpoint, what could that mean for communities, including our own?
I think the first thing is it's going to hurt healthcare, kind of oddly, because you're going to have people who are very experienced, who are trained in their jobs. We're talking nurses, doctors, physicians, assistants, all manner of people who work in healthcare facilities. I mean, we're not just talking about the frontline workers here. At SSM, Aurora, it's my understanding that this is all people who work in those facilities. Whether you're someone who is running copies in the office, working through the papers in the office. I know with the influenza vaccine in the past, it has even been required of vendors who come into the building that they're supposed to have it. Now, maybe that's ended, but I know that was the case at one point in time. And so it is wide-reaching. And just imagine, you know, I don't know what the numbers are at Ignition, but the volume of phone calls that have been coming into the 52nd District office, and the people who just, you know, I mentioned the Dock Spiders before. I'm sitting at the game the other night watching, and somebody comes up from behind me and taps me on the shoulder and asks, "Are you Jeremy Thiesfeld?" "Yes," and tells me this long, sad story of what's going on. So I can't get away from the fact that these people. There are a lot of them, and they are dismayed. And it's not just the ones who don't want to take the vaccine. It's others also who have made their choice to take the vaccination, but they respect the right of their fellow employees to make their decision as well.
Right.
And know that we need these people. So, I mean, imagine that hospital with all of a sudden 40% of the nurses gone. And that certainly could create a healthcare crisis as well, because we do not have people to replace them.
Right.
These are people that in many cases have a high level of training. They cannot be replaced overnight. And we have all kinds of job openings in the public already. It's a widely known fact that We have a crisis in society with not having enough workers. Well, to take these trained people out of a job that they're good at, that they once were called heroes because of their work, and put them in another position, that's not good for our economy, and it's not good for the public's overall health.
You bring up a good point too. There are obviously, we're talking about the people that don't want to receive the vaccine, but there are plenty of others who have gotten the vaccine, and you bring up the good point. Sometimes you see that with any type of business, when the people you talked about, the people that have gotten the vaccine, they see their friends, they see their coworkers be let go for a personal choice. There might be some, kind of like a snowball, like a cascade, mm-hmm. kind of those people saying, well, I don't want to work for a company that's going to get rid of my valued coworkers, right? There's that chance too. I'm not saying it's going to be like 100%, well, we're all out the door because of this, but there is that chance too, right?
Well, and they also see the fact that if let's just use the small scenario of here, if a company has three people working at it and one refuses to get the vaccine and is forced to leave because mm-hmm. of that, now you have two people doing the work of three, and it's not easy to find somebody to replace that person. And so now you're doing more work because your company refused to accept the personal healthcare decision of an individual who was on your staff. And these people, I've not heard these people say things like, I refuse to wear a mask on the job. They've been doing that for months.
Mm-hmm.
They're as best as I can tell, they're all willing to continue doing that. Some of them are willing to be tested frequently, which is kind of a hassle, but they're willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are not irresponsible people, and they are not ill-informed people. In my conversations with these people, I am very impressed with the level of knowledge that they have, well beyond any knowledge I have in the healthcare field in terms of how vaccinations work. Whether this is even truly a vaccine, which I think it's pretty, if you study it, it's pretty obvious it is not truly a vaccine in the sense of we normally have had vaccines. It's different. And they are well-versed in the impacts of it. And they keep coming back to the fact that this statement is that where there is risk, there must be choice. Where there is risk, there must be choice. Ask anybody who's had the vaccination. Were they shown the literature that's inside the box for the vaccination, which lists out all the warnings of things that could happen? And so the pharmaceutical companies themselves are admitting there is risk here, but they bear none of that risk. The risk is all on the person receiving the vaccination. They need to have a choice for that, and they shouldn't have to sacrifice their family's livelihood in order to make that choice.
So say these vaccines do get final approval from the FDA. Does your stance, or do you think the stance of those people who don't want to get it, do you think that stance will change just based on your conversations? Or?
Well, that is a good question, and I can't speak for all of these people. I'm speaking for myself, and I stand with them. I have heard from some of them express that very point that, it doesn't have FDA approval, and that is a very good point. I mean, you're going to be forcing somebody to get something that's experimental.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, we do have some studies, but the normal studies go out years to see the impacts of what these things do. So I would guess that maybe that will convince some of them to do that, but it's not going to convince them all.
Mm-hmm.
As I said before I went on the air to you, I've been inquiring, particularly with SSM, because they're the ones that employ most of the healthcare workers in this community. I want to see their vaccination policy that they have for their employees. I've asked for it. I haven't received it yet. It kind of was denied to me, and now I'm hoping that was a miscommunication because it was kind of done verbally.
Mm-hmm.
But I have formally asked for it again in writing. I ask for it in writing, and I like to receive it in writing because I want to see what it is that they have been requiring of their employees leading up to this period in time. And has it been consistent? I'll guarantee you, because of freedom issues and because of legal issues, there are employees there who do not have any vaccinations. Now what I mean, and I'm not just talking about COVID-19, I'm talking about going back historically to all the childhood vaccinations that there are. I'll guarantee, because I know I've talked to them, there are some who do not have any of that. Now, have they been restricted from employment to this point? Those childhood vaccinations that they received, those are for far worse medical things than what coronavirus is. And yet they've been allowed to work there all this time, no questions asked. And so that seems to me to be a pretty inconsistent application. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I don't know until I receive that. Mm-hmm. And if SSM or any other healthcare facility, for that matter, who is resistant in sharing that written policy with me or any other legislator that asks for it, you know, if they think that that is the right thing for their employees and their patients, why are they not willing to produce that for me publicly? I would think they would want to be proud of that and stand behind it. So I anticipate I'm going to receive that. Mm-hmm. I asked to have it by the end of next week. That shouldn't be hard to produce. It's a matter of just simply making a copy and sending it to me.
Sure. If people have questions, they want to reach out and contact you about this, how can they get in touch?
Yeah, well, they can call the 52nd District office. You certainly can find the phone numbers for that online. It is 608-266-3156. And I would urge you to, if you aren't in the 52nd District, your airwaves reach beyond the borders of the 52nd District, to find out who your legislator is. You can do that on the state legislature's website. And contact them and let you know what your feelings are on it, you know, either way, okay? Mm-hmm. But your legislators want to know. And don't just stop there, because we need to let the larger public know as well. And, you know, contact those healthcare facilities and let them know what you think about it. And, you know, social media is existing too, but you know, one of the reasons that I'm here today is because social media has been taking anybody who has a differing opinion. You know, try to go on Facebook today and put an opinion on that is in opposition to the current social narrative, and you get bounced off pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So, but you need to be persistent and let people know.
All right. Excellent. Representative Thiesfeld, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld joining us here on KFIZ.